Here's a chance for a trip full of great memories with AFA at the Ark. Join Wesley Wildman and Tony Battagliano for a special trip to the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum October 31st through November 2nd. Enjoy tours, activities, and special presentations, and join a panel discussion with Wesley and Tony. Space is limited, so visit afa.net/events and click AFA at the Ark to find out more and register. That's afa.net/events and click AFA at the Ark. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Wesley. Steve Paisley Jordahl was in here, and then he left the room.
He's going to add a audio clip that we're going to use to discuss.
So he sprint back to his office?
He did. He's doing his best to sprint.
Yeah, because he just had knee surgery.
Yes. Let me just fill a little time here by saying I now have 86 followers
on Twitter.
On Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter. So listen, of course, Adam Suddeth, our producer this week, he did. Joanna, Todd, Donna, Jamie, Word.
Word,
Steve.
Like Word Up?
I guess, Word.
How does?
And so, hey, thank you guys. Unfortunately, you're going to be very disappointed because I hardly ever post anything.
Wait till hockey season. It's going to be Ed Unleashed. Go ahead, Wesley.
You know, since we're just filling time here and just completely wasting everybody else's time.
We're not. That was valuable.
Don't tell people that.
How dare you, sir?
How long does it take historically when there's a change like Twitter to X? At what point do you stop saying formerly known as?
Well, the other day, Elon Musk, who bought Twitter and changed the name to X, did a survey of X people and said, should I change the name back to Twitter? Did you see that?
Oh, no. Did he really do that?
Yeah, he did. So evidently he's thinking about doing that, which I think would probably be better to do that.
It's just X is just, frankly, I mean, for a genius like Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Not a genius like me. I mean, for a genius,
it doesn't roll off the tongue either.
No, it's odd.
And you need something that if you post, it's called something that's.
You gotta have a verb. Well,
you can't say he X'd. Hey, right. Did you see the X?
Well,
that he did. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right. But people will eventually adjust to that. The bigger issue I had was it was known as like all the other social media. As most of social media is just they side with the liberals and they punish the conservatives, Christians, or whatever. Well, he buys it and obviously goes more to a free speech platform, all that kind of stuff, but then changes the name.
Yeah.
I prefer you redeeming the bad qualities of Twitter to the right thing, but instead it gives the impression to some people it's a new product. Versus redeeming.
Well, he
what
did
was bad.
Want to change the face of it, though.
Yeah,
because he did want to. I'll just say this, and Steve has sprinted back.
I don't
into
know how we
studio.
Got here. It's on me, I guess.
Well,
this is good. Okay, I thought this was just going to be filler. This is
yes,
good
and I'm going to say I refused. If he does change the name, I refuse to say Twitter, formerly known as X,
is now Twitter again. You're not going to say that.
I'm not saying that.
All right, so it's easier to say the word tweet.
Yes.
Okay, they tweeted. Everybody knows what that means. They sent out a message saying such and such. But now, in all seriousness, I know Elon Musk is not an evangelical Christian, like so many listening to us right now because of our network. But this guy, this guy deserves a world of, and I know most people maybe listening to us don't even subscribe to Twitter or X. But this guy deserves a world of credit, Elon Musk does, for stepping in. Because if not for him, there would be almost no pushback against the far left takeover of the whole social media platform world. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so when he bought it, that's what he said. Listen, I'm not, because remember Twitter? Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Sorry I was late.
Well, you remember Twitter was involved in with Facebook and who else? And during COVID, and to push the CDC narrative,
right,
and the Dr. Fauci narrative, and to deny anybody, to call it anything else when people question those things, the World Health Organization,
question the vaccine.
They were in cahoots to say anybody who's you're an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah.
Well, listen, our show got postponed and canceled by some of these social media for saying words like ivermectin or get a second opinion or don't. I mean,
hydroxychloroquine.
So Elon Musk saw that. Also, they interfered in the presidential election.
That's right.
They covered up the story about Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right.
The New York Post broke, and Hunter and Elon Musk saw that too. They cahooted.
They cahooted.
Formerly known as
17% of Democratic 17% of Democrats that voted for President Joe Biden said after the fact if they would have known about the Hunter Biden laptop, they would not have voted. Now, whether they've voted Republican, I don't know, but they would not have voted for Joe Biden. Right. 17%.
Yeah, and you know who was in on that one? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm going on memory here. And by that one, I mean the New York Post broke the story about Hunter Biden's laptop. Then the big social media decided they would suppress that as they can. I'm talking about Facebook, talking about then Twitter. Who else? The mainstream media, Washington Post, New York Times, and those people. They're not going to talk about it, or they're going to suppress it. And Facebook, evidently, in some of these big social media, they have a way to
interfere with elections.
Well, that's what it ended up being. They wanted Biden to win.
I just wanted to get you on the record and agree with me on
that. No, I agree. They wanted Biden. Yeah, they wanted Biden to win, so that's the reason they didn't want any negative news coming out about him.
Well, let's expand it just a little bit. And I know we want to move on because this is old news, but
Steve ran down the hall and he deserves his time on the air.
let's expand this a little bit. These social media companies claimed that they were doing this because you had the members of the intelligence agencies who said this is Russian disinformation.
Right.
So the deep state provided cover for social media to suppress a story that could have influenced the outcome of the 2020 election, showing the deep state in cahoots, use your word, Tim.
I said cahooted. But
cahooted. I wanted to avoid saying that again.
It's also a ride at Disney World.
Anyway, so the roots to what happened in 2020 travel deep underground.
And Biden used this. Do you remember this? To your point, and we need to remember this, when people say, you got your deep state boogeyman, okay, I would define the deep state. They're not necessarily all wearing hoodies, hiding in the basement at the FBI or the
NSA,
trying to hack into people.
Yeah. So
I'm talking about a lot of it is an ideology, the deep state, and by that I mean they are globalist. They are progressives, and they group think. They hate conservatives. They hate Christians. They hire people who think like them, and then they over time they ingrate into these federal bureaucratic agencies, and they stay there for life. Okay, now a lot of them are just bureaucrats who do their job and then they go home. But there are some of them, and they get into very powerful positions that are far left ideologues or progressive ideologues, and they work to subvert any conservative officials or administrative or administration that might come in.
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And we're giving evidence for that right now. And so just one other reminder here. You remember before the presidential election, I just mentioned these big social media companies, and they were open about it. Many of them, there wasn't any hidden. They said this story about Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation. We're not even going to publicize about it.
Right.
Remember that?
Yes.
That was their cover. And then they got, as you said, they got like 100 former CIA and FBI and intelligence agents within 2 or 3 days to sign on to a letter saying this has all the markings of Russian disinformation, that is the Hunter laptop story. They didn't know that at the time. They just all got together. I mentioned group thing. They all got together and they said, we got to say this because we got to defend our guy, Joe Biden. We don't want Trump in there again. We got to get him out. So we're going to use our credibility that then Biden can use in a debate when Trump brings this up. And so what did happen? Remember that? Trump goes, you know, what about all these, I don't know, the story about Hunter's laptop.
Yeah.
The laptop from hell. I don't know. Trump put it as only he can. You remember
right.
that debate?
Yes.
Well, Biden goes, well, I'm paraphrasing. He goes, that's already been discredited. That's Russian disinformation. I have a letter right here. Remember that?
Yeah.
I have a letter right here from 100 officials saying this is class. These guys had no way of knowing it is.
They didn't know what was on the laptop.
They were just all pals, and yeah. It'd be like us in the room going, hey, will you sign this?
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what happened. So when we say deep state, we say fake liberal media bias in politics, it's real.
Yeah.
It's real. Go ahead, Steve.
I just have one thing to add to this conversation, which is Elon has something about the letter X. His youngest two kids, and he has like 11 of them with several different mothers, but his youngest two kids are named, one of them I don't even know how to pronounce, X, and then the AE letter that's put together, A-XII, or 12. I don't know how to pronounce it. And then his youngest child is Exa Dark Side Rail Musk.
Side Rail?
S-I-D-R, and then that A and E squeezed together, yeah. L.
Huh.
I'm going to have to visibly see this because this is not making any sense.
Pass the phone
while
over.
You're doing that, can I just can I give a shout out to my wife's parents, my in-laws, Billy and Wanda Crosley, married 63 years yesterday.
Wow. Hey, 63
from Alabama,
years.
Aren't they?
One grew up in Alabama, one grew up in here, but yeah, they live in Columbus,
in here,
Mississippi.
In this room?
They live in Mississippi.
Oh, Mississippi. Okay, yeah. I got you. Yeah, congratulations. That's wonderful.
See, yeah.
They, if Paul Harvey was still alive, they'd probably be on.
They probably would. And they would deserve it.
On Paul Harvey. Good day. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Right. I don't remember his voice being quite that high, but yeah.
Good day.
I'm Paul Harvey. Anyway.
Southern Paul Harvey.
Yeah, I didn't exactly like him, but Paul Harvey.
It's close.
Yeah, Paul Harvey.
At least you didn't wind up sounding like a Russian.
Paul Harvey. He gave the rest of the story, and then he gave whatever you call his news digest. Anyway, go ahead, Steve.
All right. If any of you were listening to Jenna Ellis this morning, she had my friend, former colleague David Brody on, and they talked about a new group which has a new ad out that's called Evangelicals for Harris. What? Listen to this. You're going to hear.
You mean Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris, right. You're going to hear this, the first part of this ad, because there's only half of it, which is sound, and then Jenna Ellis is explaining what's written on the screen after the sound goes away. So listen to cut 14.
Have you been to the cross and said, Lord, I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm willing to change my way of life.
Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? That's a tough question. I'm not sure I have. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't.
And then the ad fades out to these words. Is there any greater denial of Christ than to say I do not need his forgiveness? And then fades to Evangelicals for Harris with the icon of a Bible and an American flag on the cover of the Bible.
David Brody and Jenna Ellis, neither one of them think this group is worth the paper that it's printed on, if it's printed on paper.
Who started this group? Is this a David French?
Well, I don't think David French. I think I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a new group. And okay. David French, certainly it's his mindset.
Because he's been David French, who's for a lot of years was a conservative evangelical. He appeared to be just like the rest of us and the way we view cultural issues. But over the last, 5, 6 years, maybe a little bit longer, he has definitely moved leftward. But he was on some of the talk shows this past weekend defending his call for evangelical Christians to vote for Kamala Harris.
He wrote an op-ed in the New York Times that said the same thing, why I'm voting for Kamala Harris. And basically, his thing was that Donald Trump has pulled the Republicans so far away from Reagan's conservatism that
he's going to vote for a communist.
Well, that you need to burn the party down to then rebuild it from the ashes. Basically, this is his thinking. And I don't know. I'm not sure who is necessarily behind this.
I can hop in on that one.
Yes,
I'm on their website, Evangelicals for Harris, and apparently nobody wants responsibility for it because. Yeah.
Should we even be talking names. About it then if it's a non-entity?
It's an entity. It's a non-profit.
Well, you know what I'm saying. They have no influence.
At this point, no, but it's brand new. So we're going to see.
So they have influence with the intelligentsia. So it's not just David French, but Russell Moore, who used to be the head of the evangelical... Ethics and Religious Liberty
Southern
Commission.
Southern Baptists, they kicked him out, but...
Well, he left on his own.
But, over 200,000 evangelical Christians, these people claim, on their website, have already signed our pledge.
You can't do that. I'm going to judge people. You ready?
Go for it.
I'm ready to judge here. I'm going to dish it out. You can't do that. You cannot. If I believe you can vote for... you can't vote for evil.
Right.
If you want to abstain from voting because of a conscientious reason, I can understand that. I don't necessarily
agree. That could be a good debate.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you can't vote for evil, and Harris and Waltz represent abortion through 9 months of pregnancy. That's what they favor. That's really all I need to know. But yeah. I could go on and on about other issues that they advocate for, which are totally against America, totally against our Constitution, and do in some cases represent evil and wickedness. So I could go into that. You can't promote that to the top level of government in our land and say, and by the way, praise the Lord, and Jesus is King. And you know what I'm saying?
They're irreconcilable.
They're irreconcilable.
As I've mentioned.
Well, yeah, we of course can say you cannot vote for evil policies. We can't tell people that they can or cannot vote for Harris.
She's going to come after crisis pregnancy centers.
No, said. I know. The policies are absolutely wicked. So let me say I did find that these Evangelicals for Harris, the founder.
We got names?
I got a name.
I want names.
The Reverend Jim Ball.
Right.
He's author of Global Warming and the Risen Lord. He has been a senior executive in a Christian environmental organization. The architect of the What Would Jesus Drive educational campaign and the key organizer and national spokesperson for the Evangelical Climate Initiative. Jim has testified before Congress, appeared on blah, blah, blah.
There's a new book out by Megan Basham, who is a reporter with, I think, the
Daily Wire.
Is that the only one?
She wrote a book called Evangelicals for Sale. And Ball is mentioned a lot in this, as is David French, as is Russell Moore and some others. Her contention, and Ball is the perfect example of this, Reverend Ball, is that George Soros and liberal causes are buying up or starting groups that they want to infiltrate. They're getting people that call themselves evangelicals like Ball, like French, specifically Ball with his evangelical environmental panel, and they are trying to co-opt the evangelical church. They get a name like this, and then they start giving sermons and people preaching about climate change from the pulpit. And their stick is
they're
this.
Hijacking the name.
Well, they're. Well, I don't know what his belief is as far as the authority of Scripture or, you know.
They're trying to subdue the evangelical vote in November.
The evangelical vote is standing in the way of the progressive agenda.
There are segments of our society that vote traditionally different ways. I could go through the list. Union voters vote Democrat. African Americans vote Democrat. Business owners vote Republican. Even there's a lot of crossover here. Evangelical Christians and conservative Roman Catholics, they vote Republican most of the time.
Sure.
Most of the people. So I think this attempt is to blur the lines out there. These evangelicals for Harris, which is, as I said, the reason you can't do that.
It's irreconcilable.
You just can't do that based on her view of abortion alone.
Let me correct myself. The name of the book is Shepherds for Sale by Megan Basham. The subtitle is How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda.
That is getting huge play.
It is.
That book.
Where do you guys, because it takes me about 10 seconds and my train of thought is going to
go. Oh, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's going to take another track.
Okay, go ahead. Stay on track.
Where was I? I was talking about...
You're talking about trying to subdue the evangelical vote, Soros money being poured
yes,
in.
Yes. Now, we need to talk about interruptions after this, you know, like a post-game
meeting. In the words of Jesus, physician, heal thyself.
I didn't think I'd be able to get the correction I thought it was important if I didn't do it now.
I just find when I'm interrupted, it's annoying. I'm just going to be honest with you guys.
We all agree
really?
With you.
We agree with this. We have common ground here. We have all four of us. We actually.
Oh, do y'all meet?
I'm not saying.
No, I just need y'all to say. Around?
I don't meet with anyone after the show.
Okay. So I think this is an attempt by the left to suppress the evangelical Christian vote for Trump in November.
Yes.
I think that's what's going on here. And listen, I got my issues with President Trump. And they're numerous.
Yeah.
Basham's.
But hold on.
I'm sorry.
There you go again.
I thought you'd done it. I thought that was what you were saying.
Trying to interrupt my train of thought.
Oh, man.
Okay. Most of my things are his personality, okay, not his policies, all right? Trump's policies he is for appointing federal judges and Supreme Court justices that are going to allow for our way of life to continue and for freedom of religion and freedom of thought. That's the best you can ask for from a president of the United States. And that's what Trump's committed to. That is what Trump's committed to.
On the other hand,
Kamala Harris will appoint people who believe in Marxism.
And don't know what women are.
And will want to shut down Christianity.
Right.
And don't know what
women. The difference between a man and a woman.
There are going to be far lefties who believe in the secular state is all my. I mean, it's a world of difference out there between who Trump would appoint to the federal judiciary. Now, listen, I know the presidency is important. It is. It's critically important. But these judges, these federal judges, they're going to be around for 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years.
Yeah, well, apparently y'all haven't read the touching faith story on the Evangelicals for Harris. They have her testimony on there. So we all
know. Harris's testimony?
Her Christian testimony. Well, you're going to want to go read that. It's very touching and moving.
Does it touch you and move you?
No. Also, too, I'm sitting around. It's on there. It is on there. I'm being sarcastic about the touchy-feely thing. However, I will say this. I'm sitting on my edge today. I'm waiting for Babylon Bee to have fun with this one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Evangelicals for Harris?
Evangelical for Harris.
All right. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Well, Wednesday's show is over. Be more happy
August 14th, it's in the books.
And don't go back and listen.